Wallawani, welcome to Earth Matters, environment social justice stories from Australia and around the world, produced at the studios of 3CR on Wurundjeri country in Naam, Melbourne, and broadcast across this continent via the Community Radio Network. I'm your show host, Beck Horridge, and I do pay respects to the elders, past, present, and emerging. Today, Georgia and Angel from Seed Mob, Australia's Indigenous Youth Climate Action Movement, outline their activities and strategic plan for the next 3 years.
We're a little bit delirious because we're so excited to share our strategic plan with everyone. Before we jump into this session yarning about Seed and our strategic plan and go back and look at the 10 years that have been and share a bit of the vision of what's to come, I really want to acknowledge country. And Georgia and I are both calling in from Gadigal country of the Eora Nation, and want to acknowledge the traditional custodians whose land, seas, skies care for across this continent. I want to pay our respects to elders past and present. And at Seed, we recognise the continued strength and resistance from communities right across the country in the ongoing fight for justice. And also acknowledge that we're following in the footsteps of our ancestors whose knowledge is embedded in caring for country. And we acknowledge that as First Nations people, it's our inherent responsibility to stand up and protect country. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Angel. I'm a proud Batchelor Wagwar woman. And I'm the National Director here at Seed. And I guess my journey in Seed started back in 2014, just before we launched as a project of the Australian Youth Climate Coalition, and have been involved in very many different roles since 2014 as a volunteer and joining the staff team in 2019. And I feel, deeply, deeply connected to the work we do and the vision we have. And, I grew up in Seed, and I feel like this is all I know, and I'm really, really excited and pumped to share the vision that the team have come up with. And so, G, I might chuck it to you to do a bit of an intro for like this.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Georgia. My journey similarly started, quite a little while ago. I think, 7 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I started off, working for the Australian Youth Climate Coalition, and through working for them, I got to work really closely with Seed. I got to spend a lot of time on the road in the Northern Territory, connecting with communities and being the sort of microphone to share their stories with the rest of the country.
I'd like to share a bit about, the name of Seed. I guess Seed's a metaphor for our movement of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander young people really resonating and representing our relationship and connection to country and culture. And so we almost see Seed as a tree, and we plant our seeds in the ground, and our roots take hold really strong in the soil, and it's strengthened by our deep cultural connection and guidance and knowledge from elders and communities right across the continent. And then we see as the tree grows, we have our trunk, which is the core crew that we couldn't do work without. So our team, our core volunteers and the communities that we work with. And then we branch out with people that we're connected with and people that care about country and climate justice. And then the leaves, represent their communities and all the conversations and ways that we bring people into our movement. And we often say at Seed that we're planting the seeds of the trees we'll never sit under. And so we know that this work goes over a really long time, and this is generational work. And so I guess the metaphor also represents that this movement and justice takes time. And so, acknowledge all of the pieces within that. And then I guess as well having a think back to where we've come from over the past 10 years. So in 2014, it was when we launched. And then later that year, we held our first ever summit with 50 young mob from right across the country joining. And I believe this was the first time that First Nations people had ever gathered to talk about climate change in the way that we were talking about it.
Mm.
And so it was such a pivotal stake in the ground moment that really, I guess paved the way for the tone and the vision that SEED had moving forward. Then in 2015, we sent a delegation to Paris, COP21, which is crazy to think that was 10 years ago.
Isn't that insane?
Like People's Climate March, how was that 10 years ago? Insane. Some of you on the call might have even turned out to People's Climate March. I think there was a rally in almost every capital city across the country. And then in 2016, we were super honoured to be invited into Borroloola in the NT, which launched the Don't Frack the NT campaign. And then in 2017, we co-hosted Power Shift, which we had like 200 young blackfellas turn out to Power Shift alongside AICC.
Mm.
And it was huge. And then from that supported Borroloola to be the first Aboriginal community to declare themselves frack free, which was such a huge moment on the campaign. We had biggest mob yarns in 2020, over 5,000 of them across 21 different communities. And that was to put pressure on the NT election to, elevate voices from frontline communities. And December 2020 was when we were like, hello world, we're going to become independent. And what a journey it's been since. In G 2021, we officially separated from AYCC and became our own independent org. We had a huge win in maybe the first 18 months of being independent, and that was when we saw the pressure from the Don't Frack the NT campaign make Origin Energy divest 100% of their investments and interest in the Beetaloo Basin. But there was a caveat to that, wasn't it, G? And we knew that there
it was
a win, but there was more to the story.
It was a win, and it was really telling of the deep, like, organising work we did right across the country. You know, we held Frack Off Fridays every single Friday. You know, we turned out every week, rain, hail or shine, and we had, I was going to say thousands. I reckon we had millions of conversations. Maybe that's a bit more.
Maybe tens of thousands.
We had so many conversations every single Friday morning talking to staff, building relationships with staff to like understand, you know, what they were hearing on the inside to be able to shape some of our messaging, and, you know, talking to customers on the street, and also doing a really big shareholder piece to understand what people who had invested in Origin Energy, they wanted to see. And a lot of them were investing in someone like Origin Energy because they claim to be good energy.
Mm.
And we all know that gas is not good energy.
Mm.
So it was really powerful. And I think them divesting was a really important signal to show that they didn't have the social license to do that. And so it was a really big moment.
Across 2023, we had 5 in-person training weekends to yarn about, climate justice. And do you want to yarn a little bit to that, G?
Yeah, well, we had them all over. So we had a group of NTWA mob, we had a group of Vic mob, and then we did one up on Yugambeh country on the Gold Coast with Queensland, New South Wales mob. And they were such incredible gatherings to see. We had some of our trainings, we had a lot of really young people, a lot of under 18s. And it was just amazing to be able to watch them go from being so shy and unable to introduce themselves and literally not even able to say like hi in the space, to then like later that day / the next morning getting up in front of the whole group and sharing their personal narrative and like why they care about climate justice, and, you know, sharing the climate impacts that they're seeing on their countries. And so it was just the most like heartwarming moment. The tour that we did with Oxfam, I mean, it was pretty amazing. We teamed up with Oxfam and we took 2 of our volunteers from the Kimberley along with 2 people from their network from the Pacific on a tour across Melbourne, Canberra and Sydney. And we got to yarn to MPs and senators, and they got the platform and the chance to be able to tell their stories directly to our political leaders. We went to Parliament House, we held a parliamentary forum, we met with I want to say like maybe 20 senators and MPs. Like, it was really amazing and it was really incredible to see our voles from the Kimberley really get to tell their stories and really get to connect the link between the gas that's proposed to be dug up in the Kimberley to the impacts that our brothers and sisters in the Pacific and in the Torres Strait, you know, are feeling. And so it was a really, really incredible storytelling piece.
We were writing this strat plan with the knowledge that COP31 could potentially be co-hosted in Australia with the Pacific. And so it's the second biggest global event in the world, second to the Olympics, and it could be hosted, yeah, here in Australia, potentially Adelaide. And so, yeah, really thinking deeply about what COP could look like, but also what is the moment of COP and how do we build up young people and for frontline communities to have impact at COP. I think it's going to be one of the biggest projects we probably work on, because it's such a moment in time that could really influence a fossil fuel phase out.
Yeah, I think it's a really critical point, and, you know, it's a really big opportunity for us to be able to, you know, in the lead up to COP31, you know, we've got, what, a year and a half, which sounds like a long time, but it's not a long time. But we've got a year and a half to really ramp up organising and really ramp up yarning to communities about what they want to see and what they want to call for, what are their demands going into COP, because we have this huge opportunity to, like, have all eyes on us in the Pacific in the lead up and during COP to be able to demand what our communities want for a climate just future. And it's a huge, huge opportunity. And, you know, hopefully, you know, we see some really incredible stuff coming out of it.
Yeah. And want to be able to, have a million conversations. We want to have lots, hundreds of thousands of conversations with people right across the country in the lead up to it to, really make sure that the Australian government feel the pressure from the public to make big, bold, lead big, bold changes in the way that we think about energy in this country and also around, what role First Nations people play in that and the story that frontline communities can tell. COP, what a bloody moment that will be. Well, moving into the core part of our strategic plan, which holds the guidelines for SEED over the next 3 years, and I think the easiest way to talk about it is maybe give a brief overview of the different pillars and then we can unpack a little bit more. And so we've landed on four key pillars for SEED over the next 3 years. And so our first strategic pillar talks to mobilising our movement and building the capacity of young people. We then have our second pillar, which is around leading campaigns to protect country and fight for climate justice. We then have our third pillar, which is around elevating First Nations voices and leadership. And then our fourth pillar is around building our legacy as SEED. Personally, from our hearts and soul, both George and I really deeply believe in the power that young people hold and the change that young people can create in this country. And so the first pillar around building the capacity of young people and mobilising our movement talks to just that, around increasing the size of our movement, growing a really strong, connected movement of First Nations young people who have the skills, who are connected and are supported to take action and create change in their community.
It's really, really important to be able to grow a strong and connected movement, to be able to push for change and to shift the power and take the power away from the fossil fuel industry and invest in more climate just solutions. You know, we can't do that without people.
Angel and Georgia from SEED, the Indigenous youth mob that works from the premise that the solutions to the climate crisis already exist within communities. They use the method of engaging people through yarns to understand their visions, solutions, and the impacts they're experiencing. SEED's theory of change is to build the power and capacity of young mob and communities to lead the fight for climate justice. This is achieved by working alongside frontline communities, listening deeply, and acting together to shift power and ensure First Nations people lead solutions for a safe, just, and climate-resilient future for all.
You're listening to Earth Matters, broadcast nationally across this continent via the Community Radio Network.
Here's Georgia from Seed talking about what their campaign to stop fracking in the Kimberley looks like over the next 3 years.
You know, we've yarned a little bit around being in the Kimberley. We're really taking our time to deeply listen to communities and connect with communities and build relationships with communities right across the Kimberley. So, you know, over the last little bit, we have gone on how many trips, hey, like
lots
of trips out to the Kimberley, lots of hours on the road. The Kimberley is a very large space. And so, yeah, we've spent quite a lot of time on the road, yarning to communities, talking to them about what they want to see on their country, talking to them about what they've heard about the fossil fuel industry. You know, a lot of them are actively in negotiations with fossil fuel corporations. And so making sure that they have, you know, all of the information that they need to be able to make a sound decision, because a lot of fossil fuel corporations come in and they don't give you the information that you need to be able to make an informed decision, which is really, really horrific. And so a lot of what we've been doing is trying to play that education role around what fracking will ultimately do, and connecting the dots between digging up fossil fuels and the climate crisis. And the Kimberley is one of the biggest gas basins, but it's also where a lot of mob are going to feel climate impacts. You know, it's already really, really hot in the Kimberley, like really hot. But you look at, you know, a town like Fitzroy Crossing, which is sort of, if you see the Kimberley like this, it's sort of in the middle. You know, that's projected to be, I always forget the exact statistic, but it's projected to be in the next like 50 years unlivable because it's going to be too hot. And that means that communities are pushed off country. And so, you know, we're doing as much as we can to be able to stop these fossil fuel corporations, because we really want to see a nationwide ban on fracking in the Kimberley, but also a national ban on fossil fuels broadly, honestly. Yeah.
You know, when we look at the campaign vision for the next 3 years, gas extraction and moratoriums on fracking are one part of the vision. And so we also want to prioritise Northern Australia and look more broadly into coal and gas, and be able to lend our platform to other mob right across the country who are actively opposing extractive industries and play a role in that. I feel like we are accountable to those communities as well. And so what does working together in that space look like? And
also connecting those communities to be able to, like, you know, have a louder voice together. All of these communities that are fighting back against, whether it's coal, gas, oil, or fighting because they're feeling the impacts of the climate crisis. And I'm talking about, you know, this country. I'm talking about the Torres Strait. I'm talking about the Pacific. Yeah. To be able to all come together. And again, that's why COP creates such a big moment for us, to be able to, like, connect all of those dots in one place.
Yeah, so true. Such a moment to build to, and to really invest in, yeah, building that power of communities to hold space at COP and put our demands out there, and really be staunch in the way of no means no, and all of these other slogans that come out of movements that First Nations people are holding across the country. And that piece around the impacts of climate change as well, having almost two sort of lenses on our campaigns, where it's extractive industries, but also, like, what role does SEED have in climate adaptation, mitigation and preparedness? And we know that communities are being impacted by the climate impacts, and we know that, they're getting more intense, and it's disproportionately First Nations communities that get impacted first and worst. And so, yeah, really doing the consultation piece and understanding what the, like, vibe is from communities across Northern Australia to, hold space in adaptation, mitigation, preparedness, and, what we can bring to that fight with communities. And, I think it's something we've been wanting to do for a really, really long time, and so really excited to be able to be at a space, at a moment where we can, hold those conversations and really, shift the needle for communities that are impacted. G, pillar three, elevating First Nations voices and leadership. G, I feel like this is your forte. This talks to all of the comms work that we'll hold space for over the next 3 years. And did you want to unpack this pillar a little bit more, G?
Yeah, for sure. I think that elevating voices and storytelling is really the connector between sort of like our organizing arm and also our campaign arm. It's sort of, it's how we connect those and tell those stories and push those stories out into the world. And, you know, I really believe that telling stories from the ground, from people who are experiencing climate impacts, from people who are experiencing, you know, fossil fuel extraction on their doorstep, it's telling those stories is how we shift the needle. It's how we shift hearts and minds. And it's how we create, for lack of a better word, it's how we create empathy for what's going on. And it's how people can understand someone else's point of view. And so I think there is such power in storytelling, and really lucky that Seed does it really well. And we have, you know, all of you who are on the call and all of you who are in our list to be able to like share that story with, and then you can go out and share that story with other people. And, you know, yarns is how we create change. The more we talk about things, the more we explain our point of view, we're unstoppable, right?
Our next pillar around building our legacy, this one almost sits across the bottom of all three pillars, you know, the foundations as an organization and how we sustainable as an organization, how we can make sure that we're around long term, and how we can make sure that we're pushing the boundaries of what's expected as an NGO, and how we can make sure that Seed can really lead the way in the space for how an org can function and the different values and ways of working, particularly absorbing Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander ways of working, being like knowing, being and doing into how we function as an org. And the easiest way to explain it is like, here's the NGO box in the climate movement, and we want to be outside of the box almost every step of the way, and how we can, yeah, be creative and create a workplace that sustains the work that we need to do, because, yeah, it's hard and it's emotional and it's taxing and it takes a lot of time. And we're also very privileged, obviously, to work at Seed and to be able to, yeah, put all of our time and energy into this work. And so how can we, yeah, build up the, I guess, foundations of Seed to hold the team to do the work and to hold space for volunteers in communities as well. So what that looks like is really focusing on the focusing on the governance of Seed and making sure that, yeah, we're embedding Aboriginal ways of knowing, being and doing in every element that we can. And also another big part of that pillar is around our fundraising and making sure that we have a diverse and sustainable fundraising strategy to make sure that we can do the work that needs to be done and not have resources be a barrier. And I guess the like multi-year funding is how we vision that we do that. Because for those who don't know, and maybe we should include this in the overview of Seed more often, yeah, because I feel like we don't talk about it much, but at Seed, we don't accept any government funding, any funding obviously from the fossil fuel industry, but also things like alcohol and gambling and anything that's tied to unethical money, we reject and have a really strict due diligence process that all of our funders go through before we accept money for resourcing Seed. And there's been plenty of times that we've had a big amount of money presented to Seed that we've turned down because it's, you know, we stand on that, and we stand on being able to say that we are ethically funded, and people like you who support us as well. And you might give one off, or you might give regularly, or you might give on behalf of an organisation that you volunteer for or work for. And so that's, yeah, a really core piece of support for the organisation. And I guess what I'm getting to is the point of like being able to plan with confidence. And so we're funded yearly. And so come the end of the year, every year, we're like, cool, what do we want to do? How much is it going to cost? And where are we going to get that money from? And so, yeah, building on and bringing people on the journey of multi-year commitments allows us to not have to stress about about where are we going to find the money to do the work and put more energy and resources into actually doing the work as well.
We're launching a bit of a crowdfunder off the back of our strategic plan because we really want to be able to fund all of the things that we want to do over the next 3 years. And so if you are in a position to be able to donate, you know, your donation will go directly into supporting SEED, leading climate justice campaigns and being able to empower young First Nations people right across the country. And like Angel said, we rely solely on community donations to power our work. And it's a really special thing. And so if you are in a position to donate, please do so. And if you're not, that's totally fine. Maybe share it around in your networks. But very exciting. And can't wait to be able to, like, do all of the work in the strategic plan and you know, have an amazing COP31, see a ban on fracking in the Kimberley, see a ban on fossil fuels right across the continent. Like,
yeah.
That's really exciting, and we're so lucky to have support from people like you mob all here, and also to our volunteers that are here.
Yeah, so wholesome.
Oh, so happy.
It's going to be a big 3 years, and we're going to need everyone to do it. And
any volunteers that want to, you know, have a training or anything, send me a message. We're going on the road over the next couple of months to do a bunch of trainings going to our volunteers, so... If you want a training, let me know.
Yes.
And I'll come.
You can have us both.
Yeah, we'll come.
Angel and Georgia from SEED. All power to SEED, achieving their aspirations of banning fracking in the Kimberley, a ban on fossil fuels across the continent, and a significant presence at COP31. And all strength to SEED's plans, offering roadshow trainings to engage 500 young mob across the country. I'm looking forward to supporting them.
You've been listening to Earth Matters, Community Radio's National Environment Justice Program. If you missed any of today's show, you can find our podcasts at 3cr.org.au/Earth Matters. Or if you're listening via iTunes or any other podcasting service, why not rate us and leave us a review and help spread the word. Earth Matters would like to thank the Community Broadcasting Foundation for their financial support and the Community Radio Network for getting the program out to you. Earth Matters is produced in the studios of 3CR. On Wurundjeri country. If you'd like to get in contact, you can send us an email at earthmatters3cr@gmail.com or go to our Facebook page. I hope you can tune in next time for one more Earth Matters.
Help us stay radical. Become a regular donor to 3CR. A regular donor is someone who loves 3CR so much that they set up an automatic donation to 3CR on the same day every month. Throughout September, we're asking you to become a regular donor. By setting up an ongoing automatic monthly donation, you'll help provide a stable foundation for 3CR. If we know we can count on your donation every month, it means we can better plan and resource our broadcasting. Whether it's First Nations justice, workers' rights, climate action, independent music, housing advocacy, or disability activism, your regular support ensures that these movements and struggles have a platform every single week. 3CR is determined to stay independent. This means we don't rely on corporate sponsorship or government funding. We serve our community, not corporate interests. But this also means we do rely on people like you to keep the station running. From paying the bills to maintaining our studios to training the next generation of community broadcasters, 3CR relies on community donations to survive. By becoming a regular donor, you can help us stay resilient and radical. Will you help 3CR by becoming a regular donor today? Together, we can keep independent voices on air. Go to 3cr.org.au.